Band of Pranams to everyone on the call. Thank you so much, Snigdha Mataji, for warmly introducing everybody. So we'll continue with the Shripad Ramanuja 1000 appearance series. Today will be part 4, and I hope to finish the series today, hopefully Krishna willing. So we'll start off. Om Ajnana Thimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilithamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Tegram Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tharinam Namavum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanath Swami Nitinamini Namavum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayita Deshadarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimati Ramanujaya Namaha. So in part 1 of the seminar, we have seen about the history of the Sri Sampradaya and the previous gurus before the appearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya. We saw the birth of Shripad Ramanujacharya, his early schooling days with the Yadava Prakash, and the passing away of Yamanacharya. So that was part 1. Then in part 2, we saw the different gurus of Ramanujacharya and some of the disciples of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And in part 3, we saw more pastimes about Shripad Ramanujacharya with his disciples and their sweet interactions with each other and the different works of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So today, we will be in the final part, which is part 4. Okay? And last class, part 3, when we stopped the class, we were speaking about how Shripad Ramanujacharya, he made three trips to Tirupati. In the first trip, he went and learned the meaning of the Ramayana. In the second trip, he went and made sure that the deity was actually that of Vishnu and not of Shiva. He proved it to the world. And then later in his life, he also went again to Tirupati for darshan. So this is where we actually stopped part 3. We stopped there, and then we'll continue the rest of the pastimes in the next class. So picking up from there, we'll continue today. Shripad Ramanujacharya, then later, he decided to go on a big Vijaya Yatra with some of his disciples. That is, you travel all over the world. So Shripad Ramanujacharya, being a great sannyasi, he decided to go on a big Vijaya Yatra. So these are the places he covered. He covered places like Kumbakonam, Madurai, Rameshwaram, Alvar Tirunagari, Mahendragiri Parvat, which is also, we have seen about Mahendragiri when we went through Sriman Mahaprabhu's South India Yatra. So when we were covering this chapter of Sri Mahaprabhu's South India Yatra, we covered the different places where Mahaprabhu visited, and that time we went across this place by the name Mahendragiri. So if you remember, in this place, we heard that there's a temple with 5 deities known as the 5 Nambis, and the deity on top of the hill is called as Vaishnava Nambi. So there's a very sweet pastime about this, and this was discussed during the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes also. It was also discussed by one guest preacher who came, and he was speaking about Kerala temples. This was arranged by Lalitangi Mataji. At that time also similar pastimes were seen. So I'll just slightly say a few words about this, because Shripad Ramanujacharya stopped here for a while, and there was a very nice interaction that happened between the deity and Shripad Ramanujacharya. So when Shripad Ramanujacharya, he went to this place known as Mahendragiri Parvat, which is also called as Tirukurungudi, there he saw that there were 5 deities, and the deity on top of the hill was actually very, very happy to receive Shripad Ramanujacharya. So the deity spoke to Shripad Ramanujacharya and asked him about the secret of his preaching success. So the deity said, "I tried to preach to the world by giving the Bhagavad Gita," because Krishna came and gave the Bhagavad Gita. So the deity was talking to Ramanujacharya saying, "I came here and I gave the Bhagavad Gita, but no one really listened to me. Not many people really changed after I spoke the Bhagavad Gita. But after you came, you have created so many disciples. So how is it that you are so easily spreading this message of Krishna consciousness? This is the question that the deity was asking Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya replied, so you want to hear how I am spreading the message of bhakti? So if I have to tell you the secret, you sit down like a disciple and I will sit on the asana like a guru and I will teach you. So the deity agreed, okay, you can take the asana, you can sit and you can tell me the secret. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, he sat on the asana and he said, so, oh Krishna, you said, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, I am great. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, you told about yourself and you gave the message. At that time, what people think, they think that, oh, he's talking about himself. So the minute people think the Lord is talking about himself, nobody listens to him. But when I came, I said, oh, the Lord is great. I said, oh, he is great. The Supreme Lord is so great. So people listen to me. The point Ramanujacharya was trying to make is that when Krishna came and said that I am great, no one listens because they are thinking, oh, Krishna is talking about himself. But when an Acharya comes and says that, oh, this is the Supreme Lord, he is the ultimate truth, you should listen to him, then the whole world will listen to him. So like the Sripad Ramanujacharya explained to the deity of this temple as to how once people hear from an Acharya, they automatically listen. So when Vaishnava Nandi or this deity heard this secret, he became very, very happy and he said, hereafter, even I will be your follower and I will be known as Vaishnava Nandi. Hence he got the name as Vaishnava Nandi. So this is a very sweet story, and the story was also discussed in some of the previous classes when we were seeing about Sriman Mahaprabhu's South India Yatra. Now, after this incident happened, even to this day, if you go to this temple, the deity calls himself a Vaishnava, and also there's a beautiful deity of Sripad Ramanujacharya where he takes the position of an Acharya for the deity, or he takes the position of Acharya of the Lord. So it's a very nice place. It borders Kerala and Tamil Nadu. It's a very beautiful scenic temple. We've seen a lot of pastimes about this temple. I don't want to repeat the whole thing, so we'll continue further. Then Sripad Ramanujacharya, he continued on his way in the Digvijaya Yatra. He went to Kerala, Karnataka, Dwaraka, Uttar Pradesh, Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Naimisharanya, Ayodhya, Muktinath, Badri, Pushkar, Devaprayag, and finally he reached Kashmir. Now, this is a very nice turning point in Sripad Ramanujacharya's life. So when he went to Kashmir, in Kashmir, there is a very beautiful library called as the Saraswati Bhandar. So in the Saraswati Bhandar, in those days, it was a big storehouse and a library of all the granthas. That is, all these scriptures and manuscripts were preserved in the Saraswati Bhandar in Kashmir. I'm talking about 1,000 years ago. So, however, when Sripad Ramanujacharya went there, generally the entry inside the library is not very easy. So it's not that you have to, you know, in today's world, if you give a good entry fee, you can enter into a museum or into a library. But that was not the case in those days. To enter that library and access the granthas there, one should actually solve a puzzle. And this puzzle is presented by the Saraswati deity Murti that is there at the entrance of the library. So basically, if you clear that puzzle, you can enter the library and go and access all the scripts. Okay, all the scripts are very hidden and, you know, preserved there. So to even gain access and see these scripts, you have to solve the puzzle. So this is how it was. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, he went along with Kuresha. Both of them went to the Saraswati Bhandar library and they stopped there. And at that time, the gatekeepers there, he went and told them that I've come here to write a commentary on the Brahma Sutras based on the philosophy called as Vishishta Advaita, which I'm going to write. So I need a reference book called as Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantha. So he went and says this. So at that time the gatekeepers say it's not that you can just enter like that. You have to first solve the puzzle and then go inside. Okay, that is being kept by the Saraswati deity. So he went to the Saraswati deity and he opened up the puzzle. And the puzzle given to him was he had to give the correct explanation of the verse. Tasya yata kapyasam pundarikam eva akshini. So remember this verse, he had already given this explanation to Yadava Prakasha, the meaning of kapyasam. So Ramanujacharya, when he saw this, he became very, very happy.
just like a little child who already knows the answer before the question is finished, Ramanujacharya started giving the reply. He said, oh, kapyasam, kampibati iti kapyasam. Kapyasam means ambujekshana. That means one who has lotus-like eyes. So we discussed this in the first class, how Sripad Ramanujacharya, he gave the meaning of kapyasam as lotus. That is, the Lord's eyes is like lotus petals. So immediately, he solved the puzzle and he gave the correct meaning of kapyasam. And Saraswati Devi was very happy and she gave him the title Bhashyakara. That means one who gives commentary. It's a title given to Sripad Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya got access into the library and he got the Bodhayana Vritti Grantha, which was a very important reference book for him to write the Vishishta Advaita philosophy and finish his Sri Bhashya commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. So this was presented by the goddess Saraswati, and then they took the Grantha and they traveled south. So like this, Kuresha and Ramanujacharya, they started walking towards Kashi. So when they were near Kashi, suddenly in the night, they just slept and they woke up and they found that the manuscripts were lost. So suddenly the manuscripts went missing. Actually, the Kashmir Pandits, they came here, they had followed Ramanujacharya secretly and they took away the Bodhayana Vritti Grantha and they went away. Ramanujacharya, with great difficulty, he got the Grantha, but the Kashmir Pandits took it away and they went back. Okay, they took it away back to their library. So that day morning, when Kuresha and Ramanujacharya woke up, they saw that the Grantha was missing. So immediately Ramanujacharya felt very bad. He thought, oh my God, we took so much effort to go all the way to Kashmir. We solved the puzzle. We got the Grantha, but now we don't have the Grantha. So he started, lamenting. So at that time, Kuresh said, Yatiraj, why are you lamenting for this? Don't worry. In these 3 days, while you were sleeping, three nights had passed by the time they had reached Kashi. In these 3 nights, while you were sleeping, I memorized the entire thing. So when Kuresha said this, Ramanujacharya became very happy. And Kuresha, he recited the entire Grantha, every word of it to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya became extremely happy. So that was the potency of Kuresh. If he read something once, he could retain it in his memory forever. So he didn't have to read it again and again. Just reading it once, he had a computer-like memory. So then Kuresh and Ramanujacharya, they walked all the way towards south, and then they reached Srirangam. Now, after that, holding the teachings of Nammalvar in his mind, remembering whatever he had learned from his guru Mahapurna, Sripad Ramanujacharya wrote the entire commentary of the Brahma Sutras with the help of Kuresha. And his Bhashya came to be known as Sri Bhashya, which is a commentary on the 555 verses of the Vedanta Sutras, beginning with Atatho Brahma Jignyasa. Now, again, this number depends. Sometimes it's numbered as 555, sometimes 545. So it depends on how the verses are arranged. So these are the Vedanta Sutras which begin with Atatho Brahma Jignyasa. And Sripad Ramanujacharya finished writing commentary. He didn't finish. He finished writing most of his Sri Bhashya. You can say about 3/4 of the Sri Bhashya work was complete. The remaining quarter was still remaining. So this incident happened. Now, so life continued in Srirangam. And you might have all heard about the 12 Alvars. The 12 Alvars are, you can say they are the very founders of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And in these 4 parts, we have seen only about one particular Alvar known as Namma Alvar. We didn't see much about the 11 Alvars. But among those 11 Alvars, among the total 12 Alvars, there is one woman who's an Alvar, a lady Alvar, and her name is Andal. You might have heard of this name. She was a great devotee and also she was an incarnate of Bhumi Devi. So this Andal or Kodai, who's an incarnate of Bhumi Devi, she wrote very, very beautiful poems, which is called as Thiruppavai. It is still recited in South India in many places. It's a very famous set of poems in the month of December during the time of Katyayani Vrata. At that time, we follow Katyayani Vrata in Vrindavan, right? So the same thing is followed in South by reciting the works of this Lady Alvar, known as Andal. Okay, so these works of Andal were always Sripad Ramanujacharya's favorite. He would always keep reciting those poems in his mouth all the time. So Sripad Ramanuja's favorite, all-time favorite, were these poems. So like the Sripad Ramanujacharya, he was reciting these works in his mouth all the time. And once he was walking towards the house of his guru, Mahapurna. Mahapurna was also staying in Srirangam with his wife and child. So he was walking towards the house of Mahapurna one day. And while he was reciting this poem, the poem goes like this. It says, "O beautiful girl who is with Krishna in his house, please come and open the door. You have beautiful hair, which is very fragrant, and your fingers are very, very tender, and your hand is adorned with bangles." So this is the poem that Sripad Ramanujacharya is reciting. He is reciting the poem of Andal, and he is walking to the house of Mahapurna. Okay. So in that poem, Andal is calling out to a particular gopi who is sitting with Krishna inside his house, and she is calling out that gopi to come out and open the door for her so that she can also enter and go and have darshan of Krishna. So this is what Andal has written in the poem. Now Sripad Ramanujacharya is reciting this poem and he's walking towards the house of Mahapurna. So like this, he walks towards the house of Mahapurna and he goes and he's knocking the door. While he's knocking the door, Ramanujacharya is reciting, "O girl with beautiful fragrant hair." Okay, he's saying like this, "The daughter of Mahapurna who hears the knock is coming out, is coming towards the door to open the door for Sripad Ramanujacharya to enter. So she has very beautiful hair, and when Sripad Ramanujacharya is chanting this verse, saying, "O girl with beautiful hair which is very fragrant," Ramanujacharya is able to smell that fragrance, because this little girl who is Mahapurna's daughter, known as Aturai, is coming. Okay, so while he's saying that, he's smelling the hair. Then he says, "You have beautiful tender fingers." At that time, he feels the knob of the door is being opened by a small person, by a small girl with tender fingers. Then he says, "Your hand is adorned with bangles." He's able to hear the sound of the bangles while she's opening the door. She opens the door. Ramanujacharya looks at her. He thinks that he's actually witnessing the entire poem of Andal, and he's seeing the gopi in front of his eyes, and Ramanuja faints. So because he's overwhelmed by emotion, he literally sees the poem of Andal coming alive in front of him in the form of this little girl by the name Aturai, who is the daughter of Mahapurna. Seeing the scene, Ramanuja faints and he falls down with his tridanda. I was telling that Ramanujacharya was extremely tall. He was almost 8 feet tall according to some references. So imagine this 8 feet tall personality is falling down with his tridanda. He just faints flat. So seeing this little girl, Aturai, she doesn't understand all this. So she sees this and she starts crying. She's like, "Oh my God, uncle came to the house and he fell and he's fallen, now fainted. I don't know what to do." She goes running to her father and she tells Mahapurna that, "See, Ramanujacharya came and he fainted." So at that time, Mahapurna very calmly said, "Don't worry, he would have said the poem of Andal. And that's why he's fainted, because he would have seen that the poem of Andal was coming alive in front of his eyes. So in ecstasy, he's fainted, nothing to worry." Then Aturai was like, "How are you so confident about it?" So at that time, Mahapurna says, "This is not something new in our sampradaya. Previously, even Yamunacharya fainted for the same verse. So I'm not surprised if Ramanujacharya is going to faint thinking about the same verse. And that's why you went to open the door." So immediately he has connected the two and he has fainted. So this little girl, Aturai, she got married. In those days, girls used to get married at a very small age. So she was a very, very young girl, say about 6-7 years old, and she got married. And when she went to her mother-in-law's house, she didn't know how to do a lot of housework because she's a small girl, right? She didn't know how to wash the dishes or do the clothes, I mean, clean up the clothes. And she needed a helper, basically. So at that time, her mother-in-law told her, "Oh, Aturai, it is your duty, you're the daughter-in-law and you've come from the house of Mahapurna. So if you need someone to help you with this work, you should go and get a helper from your father's house. That means you go and ask your father to send a helper with you." So this little girl, Athurai, she comes crying to her father's house and she says, my mother-in-law told me that I can't go back to the house unless I bring a helper. So please give me a helper. She goes and she complains to her father, who is Mahapurna. Now Mahapurna is the guru of Ramanujacharya. So like this, when little Athurai goes and complains, then Mahapurna says, for us everything is Ramanujacharya. Whatever we want, we go and ask Ramanujacharya and Ramanujacharya provides us. So even if you want a helper, you please go ask Ramanujacharya. I don't have the facility to provide a helper for you. So immediately this little girl, Athurai, she goes running to Shripad Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya is giving a class on the Brahma Sutras in front of many, many of his disciples. Hundreds of disciples are seated and Ramanujacharya is giving a class on Brahma Sutras. So at this time, this little girl, Athurai, comes running and she says, uncle, uncle, I want a helper. Can you please send me a helper? Without a helper, I can't go back to my mother-in-law's house. So when she says this, Ramanujacharya, it's not like he says, why did you come inside and disturb my class? He doesn't say that. He just smiles and he looks around in the assembly of his disciples to see who would be the best person to become a servant of Athurai. So he looks around and his eyes fall on Dasarathi. Dasarathi again is the nephew of Shripad Ramanujacharya and also a very great disciple of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So when his eyes fall on Dasarathi, Dasarathi immediately gets up and he says, yes, I will be the servant of Athurai. He goes with Athurai to her mother-in-law's house and he goes and does all the housework there. So like the 6 months pass by. Dasarathi is cleaning pots and he's washing clothes and he's taking care of all the household chores. That great scholar Dasarathi, who's one of the best disciples of Shripad Ramanujacharya, is now doing household work in the house of Athurai's mother-in-law. So like this time went by and after 6 months, suddenly two Vaishnavas, they happened to come to the mother-in-law's house and these two Vaishnavas, they were discussing something from the Brahma Sutras. So, and whatever they were discussing was wrong. Actually, the one Brahmana was giving one explanation, the other Brahmana was giving another explanation, but both of their explanations were wrong. So immediately, Dasarathi, who was washing pots, he just turned around and he said, both of you are wrong, the correct explanation is so and so. It was a very simple word, something like Atato Brahma Jignyasa, they were talking about it. So immediately, Dasarathi turned around and he said, no, both your explanations are wrong, this is how Ramanujacharya has given the explanation. So when the mother-in-law and everyone in the family, they hear this great person talking like this in a very scholarly way, they are all shocked. They all think, oh, who is this person? He's talking such high Vedanta philosophy. And then they ask him, who are you? And then these Vaishnavas, they discover that this is none other than Dasarathi. And they tell the mother-in-law that it is actually Dasarathi, who's the disciple of Ramanujacharya, who's been serving in your house. So then the mother-in-law feels very bad and she sends back Dasarathi to Ramanujacharya. And she also, she sends back the girl. I mean, she keeps the girl, of course. And then she forgives, she doesn't ask for any more help, or you can say. And Dasarathi is sent back to Ramanujacharya. So this is a very sweet pastime of Athurai, which I wanted to mention, because she will come later in the story. This is an important character. So she will come later in the story. Athurai was the daughter of Mahapurna. Just keep that in mind. Now, before Yamunacharya passed away, I spoke about some desires that Yamunacharya had. Most of the desires are slowly getting fulfilled. Whatever Yamunacharya had, most of the desires were getting fulfilled. But there is one desire of Yamunacharya which he had, which we haven't spoken about still. That is, two qualified people should be named after Parashara Bhatta, after Parashara and Vedavyasa. Parashara is the father of Vedavyasa. So, Yamunacharya had this desire that two qualified people in the Sampradaya should be named after Parashara and Vedavyasa. So, Ramanujacharya was meditating on this. He was thinking that my guru, Yamunacharya, he had this desire. But I haven't fulfilled that desire yet. The rest of the desires are almost fulfilled, but however, this I haven't thought about still. So like that, Ramanujacharya was meditating on this particular desire. So while he was thinking, it so happened that by now, Kuresha and his wife's name is also Andal. Kuresha's wife's name is Andal. Okay, they were married, but they didn't have children for a very long time. Kuresh was extremely old. He was like almost in a 70 plus. Actually, that's how the book says that he was almost 70 plus at this time. Quraysh was very, very old, and they didn't have children. Andal and Quraysh didn't have a single child till then. So it so happened that one day, Quraysh, he usually goes out and he begs for some grains and he brings some grains home. And then Andal cooks something and Quraysh and Andal eat from that. Usually that was the practice that they followed when they were in Srirangam. So that particular day, it so happened that he didn't get any grains. He didn't receive any grains. Quraysh didn't get any food. So Andal also didn't cook anything for her husband. So both of them went in the evening hungry. Okay, both of them were in hunger. At that time, Andal, she heard the bell ringing in the temple. That means the offering, the bhoga offering, was being made to the Lord at that time. When she was thinking, oh, my husband is starving today, when this thought was going on in her mind, at the same time, she heard the temple bell ringing in the temple. So immediately, she started speaking to Lord Ranganath. She told Ranganath, oh, you're happily eating, but your great devotee who has sacrificed everything for you is now going hungry to sleep. So she tells that sentence to Ranganath in her mind, and she also goes to sleep. So when she makes this complaint, Lord Ranganath hears it, and through the pujari, Lord Ranganath himself personally, he sends some prasadam for Quraysh and his wife. So the pujari gets the prasadam, which has two bowls of rice. It's actually two bowls of rice, which the pujari brings, and he comes running to Quraysh's house, and he rings the bell of Quraysh's house, and when Quraysh opens it, the pujari presents him with two bowls of prasadam rice. When Quraysh asks, what is this? He says, no, the deity personally asked me to give this to you. So immediately, Quraysh could understand that this was the work of his wife. So he turns back to his wife and he asks Andal, so did you complain to the Lord about anything, that we are hungry today? And immediately Andal says, yes, I made a complaint to the Lord saying that your devotee is going hungry, but you are eating happily. So Quraysh feels very bad. He says, no, this is not how you speak to Lord Ranganath. This is very wrong. Immediately Lord Ranganath has heard it and he has sent these two bowls of rice. Now you eat it, he says. So Andal takes some, and also the remaining Quraysha also honors. Both of them honor the prasadam that was sent personally by the deity. After they honored these two bowls of rice, Andal becomes pregnant. This old woman becomes pregnant without any physical contact with her husband. She gets pregnant and two children are born. And when these two children are born, by the mercy of Shripad Ramanujacharya, they are given the names Parashara and Vedavyasa. Later, they come to be known as Parashara Bhatta and Vedavyasa Bhatta, who become the leaders of the Sri Sampradaya after the disappearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So, some details about Parashara Bhatta, because again, Parashara Bhatta stories are very, very inspiring, and I have heard these stories many times from Guru Maharaj also, so I just wanted to say a few stories about him. Very great personality. So when Parashara Bhatta was a small boy, his mother, Andal, would actually tie a little cradle in the entrance of the temple, just in front of the Ranganath deity, and leave him there. Because this child was born as a prasad from the deity, so they gave Parashara, the elder one, in adoption to the deities. That means, you know, in those days, it was a culture that if a child was born to a couple after a very long time, they would give the child in adoption to the to the Lord or their worshipable deity. They would say, this child is yours. So like that, Andal, with lot of love, she used to leave the child in front of the deities, tying a cradle there at the entrance of the sanctum. She would tie a cradle and leave the child there and go. Because according to her, this child belonged to Ranganath and Ranganayaki. So they had that sentiment, and they would always leave the child there. So it is said that Lakshmi Devi herself, Ranganayaki herself, she gave milk to the child and she raised that child by singing songs for that child. So this Parashara was considered as the child of Ranganath, the baby of Ranganath. That's how he was seen. So Parashara Bhatta, he started learning Shastra from his father Quraysha at a very small age. And Govinda, who is the cousin of Ramanuja, also known as Embar, after he took sannyas, he became the guru of Parashara Bhatta. So like this, Parashara Bhatta was growing up to be a very, very fine boy. Similarly, Vedavyasa Bhatta also became a very, very nice boy. Both of these boys were growing up being nourished by the deities of Sri Rangam. So this was going on for a while. Once there was a scholar by the name Sarvajna Bhatta. So this Sarvajna Bhatta, he was a great scholar, and he was coming to all the villages and all the towns, and he would invite people for a debate. So when he came to Sri Rangam, he was being carried by a palanquin by his disciples, this particular person by the name Sarvajna Bhatta. So when he entered Sri Rangam like that in a palanquin, this little Parashara Bhatta, who was a small boy, he was very annoyed seeing that someone is being carried by a palanquin in Sri Rangam. In Sri Rangam, the culture is that only Ranganath is carried in a palanquin. Only the worshipable deity is carried in a palanquin. No ordinary human being is carried in a palanquin. So when Parashara Bhatta saw this, he felt very disturbed. He was a very small boy of 5-6 years old. So he went and he stood in front of that Sarvajna Bhatta, and he stopped him. And he said, why are you coming here? What are you doing here in a palanquin? So the disciples of Sarvajna Bhatta, they explained to Parashara that this is the great Sarvajna Bhatta. He has come to challenge all the scholars in Sri Rangam, and he wants to have a debate with everyone. So at that time, Parashara Bhatta says, who are you to come and debate with the scholars of Sri Rangam? This is a place where Sripad Ramanujacharya is there. You have no qualification to come here. First answer my question, then you can go inside Sri Rangam and debate with others. So the scholar asks, so what is your question? Let me first defeat you. So at that time, Parashara Bhatta, he takes a handful of sand and he looks at Sarvajna Bhatta and he says, tell me the number of grains that is there inside my hand. So at that time, Sarvajna Bhatta is totally perplexed and he's like, how am I to count the number of grains in your hand? So he doesn't have an answer to the question asked by Parashara Bhatta. And he admits that he's defeated. Then Parashara Bhatta explains that you don't have to count the number of grains in my hand. It, the answer is very simple. All that you have to say is that I have a handful of grains in my hand. See, it's like, you know, you don't have to say you have 10 million thousand grains in your hand. All that you have to say is whatever you're holding is one fistful of grains. That is the answer that he is supposed to give. So like that, Parashara Bhatta explains to the scholar, and the scholar is defeated. Then this little Parashara Bhatta, who's a small boy, he enters the sanctum where the deities are there, and at that particular time, the curtains were closed. So the deities were taking rest. Ranganath and Goddess Lakshmi, both of them were taking rest inside. So at that time, this little boy, he was just exposed to thinking always that the deities are his parents. He also knew that Kuresh and Andal were his parents, but he was always around the deities. So one day he just ran inside the sanctum when the curtain was closed. Okay, just imagine this happening. A little boy runs inside when the curtains are closed. So at that time, the deity got a little disturbed. Ranganath got disturbed and he tells him, oh, what are you doing? Don't you know that when the curtains are closed, you're not supposed to enter? He says that to little Parashara Bhatta. And Parashara Bhatta immediately says, oh, dear Lord Ranganath, please forgive me. And he runs out. I did a mistake. I shouldn't have entered. And he runs out. Then after a while, Ranganath thinks, oh, maybe I shouldn't have sent him off. He came in with so much love. So Ranganath calls him back inside. Parashara Bhatta, please come back inside. So again, Parashara Bhatta goes running inside. He is a little boy. He goes running inside. And then Ranganath asks him, so what did you think when I told you to get out? When I told you to get out of the sanctum? So at that time, Parashara says, when you told me to go out, I thought you are the Supreme Lord. You are the source of everything. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth and you're asking me to go out. So immediately I said yes and I went away. He gives this answer. Then Ranganath asks him, so when I called you back, what did you think? So at that time, little Parashara Bhatta says, when you called me in, I thought, my dear father Kuresh is calling me back. My dear mother Andal is calling me back. So with that love, I came back. So then Lord Ranganath said, hereafter, don't think of me as the Supreme Lord. Always consider me equivalent to your parents, Kureshananar. So this was a very sweet pastime of how Parashara Bhatta was very, very dear to Lord Ranganath, just like his own son. Then as later when he grew up, now this is not, this is the time after the disappearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Because at this time, Parashara Bhatta was the leader after the disappearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya. There is one more pastime which I wanted to tell, which talks about the greatness of Parashara Bhatta. So once when Parashara Bhatta was standing in front of the deity of Ranganath, when he was grown up, he was singing prayers in front of Ranganath. At that time, a particular dog had entered the temple. So when the dog had entered a temple, usually what they do is they do a small purification ceremony. Because animals generally are not allowed to enter into, the purified places like temples. So by mistake, a dog had entered the temple and the pujaris were doing a purification process in the temple. So when Parashara Bhatta entered the temple to offer prayers to the deity, at that time he asked the pujaris what they were doing. So at that time the pujaris said, actually a dog entered, so we are doing a small samprokshana. Samprokshana is just a cleansing ceremony. So at that time, with great humility, Parashara Bhatta goes in front of the deity and he says, you know, they are doing this purification ceremony because a dog entered, but I enter your temple each and every day, but no purification ceremony is done. So with a lot of humility, he was saying this to Lord Ranganath. He considered himself lower than a dog. So this was the mood in which Parashara Bhatta was. Once when he was taking darshan later, some devotees were actually there and they were a little envious of Parashara Bhatta. They were criticizing Parashara Bhatta. Oh, he's like this, he's like that. You know, they were finding, nitpicking on him. They were finding faults. Two devotees were standing in the temple and they were finding faults with Parashara Bhatta. They didn't know that Parashara Bhatta was also there taking darshan. They didn't know that. So they were just standing. And at that time, Parashara Bhatta overhears these criticisms. So very happily, Parashara Bhatta, he goes and he takes a cloth and honors the two devotees and he gives them prasad and garlands and everything. And then Parashara Bhatta says, there are two things a Vaishnava must do. One is he must glorify the Lord with all his heart. He must continuously glorify the Lord. The second thing a devotee must do is he must lament for his own faults. He must introspect and lament for the faults that he is doing. I was always engrossed in glorifying the Lord. I never thought about my faults. But today you both have done me a favor, so I pay my obeisances to you. He says that and he honors these two Vaishnavas. So that was the great nature of Parashara Bhatta, who was the son of Kuresh and Andar. Now we'll continue the story of Shripad Ramanujacharya. So it so happened, time was again in Srirangam, everything was going on well. Parashara Bhatta and Vedavyasa were growing up to be very nice boys. Kuresha had sons, all this was going on. So one day, there was some rumor in the town that Mahapurna has done something wrong. There is something wrong, big mistake Mahapurna has done. So what was this mistake, that so-called mistake that Mahapurna had done? So we'll see that a little bit. Now, Yamunacharya, okay, who is the Param Guru for all of them, Yamunacharya, along with his disciples like Mahapurna, Kanchipurna, all of them, Yanapurna, all of them, he also had a disciple by the name Maraneri, Maraneri Nambi. Now, this Maraneri was not a Brahmana. He was from a lower Varna. Now this Maraneri was a very, very loving disciple of Shripad Rama Yamunacharya. Maraneri was about to die. This was what had happened that day. He was about to die, and before he died, he called his godbrother Mahapurna, and he told his godbrother Mahapurna, "Dear Mahapurna, you're very close to me. I am from a lower Varna, but still you always consider me like your brother. I am about to give up my body now. I don't want my body to be taken up by my relatives. I don't want them to do the final rites because they you know, this body has served the lotus feet of Yamunacharya. I don't want non-Vaishnavas to touch my body. This is what Maharaneri says, and he dies. So when he died, Mahapurna was next to him. So Mahapurna decides to do the final rites for Maharaneri. So he goes and he does the final rites for his god brother. He takes bath in the Kaveri and he comes and he closes the door. So whatever activities that Mahapurna had done was witnessed by some people in the town of Srirangam, and they went and reported to Ramanujacharya saying, oh, you talk so great, you say that Mahapurna is so great, but actually Mahapurna, you know what he did? He went and did the final rites of a person who does not belong to his Varna, who has no relationship with him. So what do you say about this? Isn't this wrong? So they went and asked Ramanujacharya this question. So Ramanujacharya said, okay, you have this doubt in your mind, is Mahapurna doing the right thing? Okay, you all come with me. Let's go to the house of Mahapurna and ask him about why he did this. So Ramanujacharya, along with these people who are finding faults with Mahapurna, they all went to the house of Mahapurna and they knocked the door. Now Mahapurna had just finished the final rites and he had closed the door. He opens up the door when he sees Ramanujacharya with all the disciples. So he opens the door and he asks Ramanujacharya, what happened? Why have you all come here? So at that time Ramanujacharya says, we heard that you have done the final rites of Maharaneri, who is not from a higher Varna. So we want to know why you did it and whether your actions are right or wrong. He says, Ramanujacharya says this, then he looks back at his disciples, again he turns front, he looks at Mahapurna and he says, I am not asking this question, these people want to know the answer. He says that and he stops. So at that time Mahapurna, he gives a very beautiful answer. He says, Jiya, dear Maharaj, a vulture by the name Jatayu's final rites were done by Lord Ramachandra. If Lord Ramachandra did something wrong, whatever I did is wrong. Yudhishthira, Dharmaraja, he did the final rites of a Dasi Putra by the name Vidura. If he did something wrong, then what I did is wrong. I am neither greater than Rama, nor is this Maharaneri Nambi smaller than Jatayu. Don't we have to implement what we preach? We have to be practical about our teachings. We just cannot preach and sit back and not implement whatever we preached. Our teachings are that we should be humble and we should not see such differences among people. We are openly preaching this, but shouldn't we put at least 1% of this in practice? So this is the answer that is given by Mahapurna, and Ramanujacharya is so happy and he turns back to his disciples and the other people who had made complaints, and he tells them, this is the answer. Now tell me what Mahapurna did was right or wrong. And then all the Vaishnavas and the disciples and the other people in the village, they kind of surrender to Mahapurna and they ask for forgiveness. So this is one nice pastime that happened with respect to Mahapurna. Then we have to see now a very, very important turning point in the life of Sripada Ramanujacharya. So this, again, the Srirangam, things were going on fine. Everything was going good. All the devotees were having very nice Vaishnava association. The deities offerings, everything was very, very pleasant and going on very well. But one fine day, there was a particular king by the name Kulothunga Chola. Okay? He was also called as Kirmikanta Chola. He was a great Shiva Bhakta, and during his reign, he had destroyed many, many temples, and he had stopped the worship of Vishnu in many temples. So this was going on in his area. Now, this Kulothunga Chola, this great Chola king, he wanted to stop the worship of Vishnu in other places too. So he was sending out his soldiers in many places so that they could go and destroy the Vishnu temples and stop the service to Vishnu, and he wanted to make sure that the supremacy of Lord Shiva is established. This was his mission, okay? This was the mission of this king. So one day he called out to his ministers and he asked his ministers, is there any way to completely wipe out Vaishnavism from south? Okay, this was the question asked by Kulothunga Chola. So at that time, this minister said, I have a plan and allow me to execute that plan so that Vaishnavism is completely eradicated. So what was the plan? Kulothunga Chola's minister, he comes to Sri Rangam, and there he finds a man by the name Naluran. Now this Naluran was a disciple of Kuresh. So this soldier goes and bribes the disciple of Kuresh known as Naluran. He gives him 100 gold coins and he asks this man a way to destroy Vaishnavism. Okay, what is the best method to destroy Vaishnavism here in this area? So at that time, this Naluran says, I have an idea. All that you have to do is you have to get it in writing from this leader, Sripad Ramanujacharya, who's the sannyasi leader in this area, that Shiva is the greatest. And then when you get this in writing, the whole problem will be solved and no more Vaishnavism will be there in this area. This is the idea given by a disciple of Kuresh. Imagine, he saw money, he saw 100 gold coins, and his mind was so much changed that he was ready to kill Ramanujacharya for this, okay, to receive those 100 gold coins. So he tells the soldier and the minister of Kulothunga Chola, all that you have to do is get it in writing from Sripad Ramanujacharya and Vaishnavism will be destroyed. So meanwhile, while this man was bribed and the secret was revealed to the king, the soldier and the minister, they go back to the king and they report to the king saying that we have found a way. It seems you have to call for this Ramanujacharya and get it in writing. And once it is gotten in writing, the whole Vaishnavas, they are all following this one man. So if this one man gets converted to Shaivism, then the whole Vaishnavism will collapse. Okay? So this was the idea given to the king. So meanwhile, Ramanuja, he started hearing from different people rumors about this king by the name, let me see. Very noisy. So meanwhile, Ramanujacharya, he had heard this news that there is a king by the name Kulothunga Chola who is trying to destroy all the Vishnu temples and he's trying to wipe out Vaishnavism. From different messengers, different people, he heard this news. So he also heard a news that there's a very good chance that the Sri Rangam temple could be attacked. So he went running to Mahapurna and he asked Mahapurna what to do. I'm getting, you know, such kind of news. A lot of people are talking about this, that there is a king by the name Kulothunga Chola and he's going to come and destroy the temple and he's attacking Vaishnavas. So at that time, Mahapurna said, okay, don't worry. I will circumambulate the temple, reciting the works of the Aivas, and please send one reliable person to come with me. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, he sends his favorite disciple Kuresh along with Mahapurna. Mahapurna and Kuresh, they circumambulate the temple, reciting prayers so that the temple is protected. Okay. So the next day, Ramanujacharya, he goes to take bath in the river and he's accompanied by two of his disciples when he's taking bath. So he goes to the Kaveri, he's taking bath, and when he comes out, when Ramanujacharya comes out from the river after taking bath, he sees that his clothes are missing. His sannyas clothes that he wears is actually missing. So when he sees this, he sees that his clothes are missing and only white clothes are left back. So what actually happens is that Kuresha exchanges his clothes with Ramanujacharya's clothes. So what Kuresha does is, he takes away the sannyas clothes of Ramanujacharya and he keeps it and he gives his white clothes there and he leaves it on the banks of the river Kaveri. So when Ramanujacharya takes bath and he comes out, he sees that his clothes are missing. Kuresha, along with Mahapurna, what they do is, Kuresh adorns the clothes of Ramanujacharya just like a sannyasi. He wears the sannyas clothes of Ramanuja, and Mahapurna and Kuresha, they walk towards the palace of Kulothunga Chola. They go towards that place to meet the king. Whereas Ramanujacharya is left back with the white clothes, and when Ramanujacharya comes back and he asks what happened, then the message is given to Sripad Ramanujacharya from Kuresh, and the message says, oh Ramanuja, please walk towards north, please go to Karnataka. Please be assured that everything is fine. I will take care of this problem and I will deal with Kulotunga. This is the message given by Kuresh to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya is alerted. There is a problem here. There is a problem. They may attack you. Your life is at stake. So please start working towards Karnataka. This is the message given. And Ramanujacharya immediately understands the seriousness, and he goes with 7 of his disciples walking to north towards Karnataka. And now Kuresh and Mahapurna, they both start walking towards the palace of this king by the name Kulotunga. Okay, so this is the scene that is happening. Now these two devotees, Kuresh and Mahapurna, they go to the palace of Kulotunga, and Kuresh is wearing the dress of a sannyasi. And along with them, along with Mahapurna and Kuresh, Atturai, who is the daughter of Mahapurna, is also going with them. So 3 people enter the Chola assembly, the king's assembly. So when they enter there, they go and ask the king as to why have you asked us to come. Because the king had called for Ramanujacharya, actually. That was the message sent. The king had called for Ramanujacharya, but instead Kuresh is going in the dress of Ramanujacharya along with Mahapurna and his daughter Atturai. So all of them have gone to the assembly of the Chola king, and Kuresh goes and asks, so why have you asked me to come here? So at that time the king told, I've asked you to come here because I want you to give it to me in writing, this statement, Shivat Parataram Nasti. That means there is no one greater than Lord Shiva. So at that time Kuresh asks, why should I write like that and give it to you? Why should I write that Shivat Parataram Nasti? So at that time the king says, because you are Ramanujacharya, you are the leader of all the Vaishnavas. If you give it in writing that Shiva is the supreme absolute truth, then the whole world will accept it. So that is the reason I am asking you to give it in writing. Then this guy is Ramanujacharya, this is actually Kuresha who is talking. Kuresh says that there is no Pramana in Shastra that says that Shiva is Paratattva, or Shiva is the greatest and there is no one greater than him. How can I give it to you in writing when there is no such Shastra Pramana? He argues with the king. Then the king argues back and says that you have to give it in writing, otherwise I will kill you or I will punish you. So he goes on like this. And then Kuresh decides, okay, there is no way to, you know, put some sense into this king's head. He is really, really crazy. And he says, okay, give it to me. Give that little script to me. I will sign it and give it to you, saying that Shiva is the ultimate. He says that. And then he says, once I sign it and give it to you, please preserve it forever because this is the only Pramana in the world that you will have. So when he says that, this king is very, very agitated and he gives this little manuscript where he's written Shivat Paratram Nasti. And now so-called Ramanujacharya has to sign it. Okay. So Kuresh receives that manuscript that says Shivat Paratram Nasti, and he strikes off that sentence, and below that he says Dronam Asti Tataha Param. That means Dronam is greater than Shivam. He writes this and he gives it back. So what is the meaning of it? So he writes that and gives it back, and this Kulotunga Chola sees this and he gets even more angry. So the meaning is that Drona and Shiva are actually the names used for measures. Just like we have 1 cup, half cup, quarter cup, like that, Drona means 1 cup and half cup is Shivam. So what Kuresh is trying to say is, you are saying Shivat Parataram Nasti, but I am saying Dronam Asti Pathataha Param. That means Dronam is greater than Shivam. So he says that it's just a joke. He writes that and he gives it back. But the Kulotunga Chola gets very, very angry, and he says immediately, pluck off their eyes. So they take the soldiers take hot rods, hot fire rods, and they go to the eyes to pluck off the eyes of, I mean burn the eyes of both Kuresh and Mahapurna. So at that time Kuresh stops them and he says, who are you? You're not even a devotee. Why should you touch my body that has served the lotus feet of Shripad Ramanujacharya? You don't have to blind me. I will take out my eyes myself. And he does it. Kuresha removes his own eyes, and Mahapurna's eyes are also blinded. Both of them are blinded and they are sent out of the town of this Chola dynasty. So once they are sent out, this little girl Atturai holds both of their hands and she's guiding them, and they are walking towards Srirangam through the forests. So like that, they make it almost to the city of Srirangam. But during that time, just before entering the town of Srirangam, Mahapurna collapses and he's about to leave his body. So at that time, Kuresh says, Mahapurna, tells Mahapurna, oh Mahapurna, please don't give up your body here. Just a few more feet. You please enter Srirangam and give up your body, because Srirangam is Bhuloka Vaikuntham. Definitely you will go back to the spiritual world. Please enter Srirangam and then give up your body. At that time, Mahapurna says, no, I will not enter Srirangam. Today, if I enter Srirangam and give up my body, it will be established that only if you give up your body in a holy dham, you will go to the spiritual world. That is not true. If you have taken shelter of a proper acharya, that acharya is sure to take you back to the spiritual world. This truth must be established. Hence, before entering Srirangam, I will give up my body. He says that, and Mahapurna gives up his body and he goes back to the spiritual world. And then Atturai and Kuresha, whose eyes are blinded, enter Srirangam. Once they enter Srirangam, Kuresh understands that Ramanujacharya is no more here, and all the soldiers of Kulottanga Chola have somehow gotten the message that the original Ramanujacharya is not, he's escaped somewhere. They get this message and all the soldiers are already around Srirangam trying to find Sripad Ramanujacharya. So at that time, Kuresh understands that he should not enter the city and be in the city anymore, and he goes and he lives in Ayagar temple, which is in Madurai. So all this has happened. Kuresh is somewhere. Now Sripad Ramanujacharya is walking towards Karnataka. Okay? Now, Sripad Ramanujacharya story. Let's continue with what happened to Sripad Ramanujacharya. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, along with seven associates, they start walking towards north, towards Karnataka. So as they walk north, they came to a big forest area near a big hill. And in that area, there were some tribal people who became the associates of Sripad Ramanujacharya, and they offered help to the associates of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Now Sripad Ramanujacharya is in white dress. He's not like a sannyasi. He's in disguise. So these tribal people, they saw that some Vaishnavas have come, and they offer help to these Vaishnavas, and they inquire from these Vaishnavas where they were coming from. So at that time, these people, they said they were coming from Srirangam. So these forest dwellers, they ask the associates of Ramanujacharya, oh, you people are coming from Srirangam. How are things in Srirangam? Is Sripad Ramanujacharya, your leader, doing good? So these forest dwellers, they are asking this question to the associates of Ramanujacharya. So immediately, the associates of Ramanujacharya, the disciples, they do not reveal that this is Ramanuja who is walking with us, because they were very scared that even these tribal people, these forest dwellers, could be the messengers of the Chola king. So they do not reveal the identity of Sripad Ramanujacharya. They just, kind of say, yeah, everything is fine in Srirangam, everyone is doing good, Ramanujacharya is fine. Like that they say, and they just keep walking. So like this, it takes them 6 days to actually cross that forest and cross the hill that they have to go, which they have to cross actually. It takes them about 6 days. And these 6 days, these tribal people, they take very good care of Ramanujacharya and the followers. But the followers haven't revealed the identity of Ramanujacharya still. Then at the end of the sixth day, towards the end of the sixth day, they see that Ramanujacharya has become very weak because of not eating, and he was shivering. So with great concern, these people, they take very good care of Sripad Ramanujacharya, and they leave Sripad Ramanujacharya and his followers on the other side of the hill. They show a particular house and they say, that is the house of a Brahmana. If you go there, you can accept some prasad from there. Because these followers of Ramanujacharya were very particular about the prasad that they ate. They wouldn't just eat prasad cooked by anybody. They were very particular about their following, where they would accept prasad. So at the end of 6 days, they were safely taken to the other side of the hill, where this leader showed a particular house, which is the house of a Brahmana, and they were directed to go there. But before they went there, again the tribal people, with a lot of love and affection, they asked the associates, these Vaishnavas, please tell us, how is Ramanujacharya, how is he doing, they are missing him so much. Like that, with a lot of love, they were very concerned, and they were asking about the well-being of Sripad Ramanujacharya. So at that time, what happens is, Dasarathi, who is accompanying Ramanujacharya, he asked these tribal people, why is it that you're inquiring about Sripad Ramanujacharya again and again? Why is Sripad Ramanujacharya so dear to you? Can you explain to us? So at that time, the tribal people, they say that there was a great man by the name Nallan Chakravarti. When he came to our forest dwelling, he came and he preached to all the people in this area. He preached Vaishnavism to us. He spoke about the path of bhakti, about devotion to the Supreme Lord, and he converted all of us into Vaishnavas. And he told us that our Paramacharya, our Supreme Guru, is Sripad Ramanujacharya, and he lives in Srirangam. So whatever we are today, whatever mercy we have today, it is only because of the mercy of our Paramacharya. So he also told us that Sripad Ramanujacharya is in Srirangam, and someday we will be blessed by his darshan. So at that time, Dasarathi was very, very happy, and he revealed to them, this is Ramanuja, and now he is disguised in white clothes, but actually this is the sannyasi Ramanujacharya that you have all been longing to see. You can see him now. So like this, the identity of Ramanujacharya was revealed to these forest dwellers. They took the darshan of Sripad Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya was so happy. He said, this beautiful cloud of mercy known as Nallan Chakravarti has come to this place and reigned here. I feel very, very happy. He says this, and all the forest dwellers, they take blessings of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And then one devotee from this tribal group and one devotee from the Vaishnava group are sent back to Srirangam to fetch 45 people from Srirangam to come and join their party, which is going towards Karnataka. So two people have gone as messengers to Srirangam to bring 45 devotees. So now there are 7 devotees who are going with Ramanujacharya, and 45 more devotees are going to come in from Srirangam. So totally 52 devotees would be later established in the service of a place, in a service of the deity in a place called as Melukote. We are going to see that story next. Okay. So messengers are being sent to Srirangam to bring more devotees so that the worship of the deity of Tirunarayana in Melukote will be established in the next few, very soon you can say. So okay. So the story gets over, and then I told at the end of it, they were directed to a particular Brahmana's house, to a Brahmana's house. So Sripad Ramanujacharya and the 7 followers, they go towards the house of this Brahmana. There, by the time they reach this house, it is night time. Everything has become very dark. So they go to the entrance, and at that time, a particular lady comes out of the house, and she offers obeisances to all the devotees. Seeing that they are Vaishnavas, she says, I am very fortunate that you have all come here. Please come inside and have prasadam. So at that time, these associates of Sripad Ramanujacharya, they say, no, we cannot accept any kind of prasadam from anybody. So when they make the statement, immediately this lady says, I understand that you are all Vaishnavas. Even I have Acharya Sambandha. Even I am also a disciple of a great Vaishnava Acharya, so you can accept prasad from my hands. Then they ask, who is it? Who are you a disciple of? At that time, this lady says, I am also a disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya, so you can very well accept prasadam from me. So at that time, these associates, along with Ramanujacharya, they are all standing, and they ask, so can you explain to me, how is it that you are a disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya? So at that time, this lady, who is also known as Kungil Pirati, or she is known as Chanchalamba, she tells her story. She says, once upon a time, there was a drought in my native village. Ramanujacharya and his associates have gone to this place, which is almost in the border of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. And this is the native place of that lady. So that lady is telling her story. She says that once upon a time, there was a drought in my village, and we all, with our family, we went to Srirangam and we settled there for a few years. So while I was at Srirangam, I saw a sannyasi. That sannyasi was a very, very simple man, and he was living by madhukari. That is, he was accepting madhukari and eating. But all kinds of people, rich, poor, everybody, they would come and fall at his feet. So I was very curious to know what is it that he had. So one day I gathered the courage and I went in front of that Swami and I asked him, "Oh, revered Swami, you are a sannyasi. You have given up everything in life and there is no possibility for you to accumulate wealth or jewels or gold or mansions or anything like that. How? And you are just wearing a simple saffron cloth, you are holding a tridanda and a small begging bowl. So then how is it that so many people are following you all the time and the landlords and kings and everybody come and fall at your feet, but you are just living by accepting some madhukari? So how is it that you have so many followers? What is the secret behind all these disciples?" So at that time, Ramanujacharya, who is actually the sannyasi, he replied saying that, "Maybe I really have something. I just give them a mantra and all of them are becoming like this." So immediately the lady asks Ramanujacharya, "Will you be my acharya and will you give me that mantra diksha? Can I also please get the diksha from you?" So immediately Ramanujacharya arranges for her initiation and he initiates that lady immediately. And that lady becomes overjoyed and she offers her obeisances and she serves Shripad Ramanujacharya. After a few months, when the drought in her place was, the situation in her place was getting better and things were getting better in her village, they decided to leave Srirangam and go back to her village. At that time, before leaving, this lady, she goes to Shripad Ramanujacharya's, ashram and she asks him, she tells him that, "I'm leaving back to my village. I'm going back to my village. I'm leaving Srirangam now. So I've actually forgotten the mantra that you taught me and the meaning of the mantra. Can you teach it to me again?" So she asked Ramanujacharya like this. So at that time, Ramanujacharya tells her, "Even if you ask me 100 million times, I will keep teaching it to you again and again. With all pleasure, I will give you initiation. Teach you the mantra again." And he does it again. He teaches her again. And she is very happy and then she requests Shripad Ramanujacharya, "Can you please give me something which I can always cherish and keep with me?" So at that time Shripad Ramanujacharya, he removes his sandals, that is his footwear, his padukas, and he gives it to her. She takes it with a lot of love and she goes back to her village. So it is the same lady here who has the padukas of Shripad Ramanujacharya who is receiving all the disciples of Ramanujacharya along with Ramanujacharya. Now Ramanuja is in disguise, so she's not yet found out that this is Ramanuja. And it is dark also, so she's not able to see things clearly. When she recites the story of how she was initiated by Shripad Ramanujacharya, they say, "Okay, we will accept prasadam from you." Then she goes inside to cook. At that time, Shripad Ramanujacharya says, "Go and check what she is doing inside." He's just sends one disciple to go and check what she does inside. So this lady, she goes inside and she's cooking a very grand feast. She cooks very good prasadam and then she offers it to something. Okay, she's just offering it to something. And this disciple who's looking inside sees that she's offering it to something. He comes back and he tells Ramanujacharya that this lady, she cooked very nicely, but she offered it to something, but that something is not our Lord. She didn't offer it to Krishna or she didn't offer it to the deity, the Supreme Lord. Then Ramanujacharya, he says, "Is it so? Then go and ask her what she offered it to." At that time, this devotee also says that she offered it to something that was black and long. It was black and it was very long. She offered it to that, but that is not our Supreme Lord. He says this. So then Ramanujacharya sends him again and asks him to go and see again and ask her what she offered it to. So he goes back to that lady and he asks her, "What did you offer it to?" So at that time she brings out the padukas of Shripad Ramanujacharya and she says, "This is my worshipable deity. This is what I offer my bhoga every day to and I eat. Only after offering it to the padukas of my guru," she says that. So then they examine the padukas and then this devotee says, "So if you have seen Ramanujacharya, can you identify him?" So this lady says, "Yes, I can identify his lotus feet." Then this devotee holds a lamp in the dark and he says, "Shripad Ramanujacharya is amongst us. Tell us if you can identify his feet correctly." So she walks through the passageway where everyone is sitting, and exactly when she sees the lotus feet of Sripad Ramanujacharya, she identifies it and she says, this is the lotus feet I took shelter of, but this leg was adorned with sannyas clothes. I had seen it always with sannyas. For the first time, I'm seeing these legs adorned with a white cloth, she says. And immediately, Sripad Ramanujacharya, reveals his face. He lifts up the lamp and reveals his face. She sees Sripad Ramanujacharya in his lotus feet and she surrenders. She pays her obeisances and everybody is very happy. And they all accept prasad except Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya says, let all the disciples and devotees accept prasad, but I cannot accept prasad because you have offered it to my lotus feet. How can I offer cooked prasad that is offered to my own feet? I can only offer food or cook something that is offered to the Lord. So please bring some fruits and milk, offer it to the Supreme Lord and come and give it to me. I will accept the prasad. So immediately she picks some fruits, she gets some milk, she offers it to the picture of the Lord. And she comes and she gives it to Sripad Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya eats, all the disciples eat, and they take rest in the front yard of that house that night. But that night, what this lady does is, she goes and tells her husband that some Vaishnavas had come, but they did not honor prasadam. They went to sleep hungry. So immediately the husband asked, but I saw you cooking. So why didn't you give the prasadam to them? So that lady said, yes, I cooked very nicely. I did everything, but they refused to accept prasad from me because they heard that the head of the family, the husband, is not initiated. Okay, she says that and she sleeps. Then she tells her husband, we will sleep now, but next day morning, please go and get initiated by Sripad Ramanujacharya. Only then these Vaishnavas will accept prasad and we can save their lives. She says that. So she actually lies to her husband because she wants her husband to get initiated by Sripad Ramanujacharya. He had not yet surrendered to Ramanuja. It was her desire that her husband should also become a devotee and surrender to Sripad Ramanujacharya. She tricks him and the next day he takes initiation from Ramanujacharya and he also surrenders to Sripad Ramanujacharya. So this is a very beautiful example of how a husband is given mercy by the wife. So this is a very beautiful story, singing the glories of this beautiful devotee by the name Chanchalamba or Kungil Pirati. Now, should I proceed? It's past 1 hour. I still have a lot to finish. Or should we do one more session? Not a lot. I have at least about half an hour more. I want your inputs. If someone can answer. I think I muted some people. Hold on. I'll unmute.
I'm okay, Mataji. I don't know about others.
I think you should do another class, Mataji. I would enjoy listening. But I know Kirtita Mataji said that she couldn't be on and stuff. So I think instead of rushing through that half hour, maybe doing another class if nobody else has any problems.
Okay, Mataji. So now what we'll do is we are left with another half an hour. I'll tell you how many, I thought I would finish it. I don't know why maybe I'm just going a little slow. So I have about half an hour left or maybe 20 minutes left. So we'll do it maybe next Tuesday if we don't have anyone scheduled next Tuesday. Okay?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. That way, you can also after the 15 minutes, if you can give a summary of just the main hints of whatever these five classes you spoke.
Yeah, definitely. Sure thing.
That would take another, 15 minutes, so we can easily go up to 1 hour.
Yeah, definitely. So now we have stopped at a point where Sripad Ramanujacharya is just about to reach Karnataka, and he has blessed a lot of devotees, like this lady and the tribal people. So we'll stop here because there's a lot more very interesting facts that happen. The story of Melkote, all that is very, very, there's a lot to say actually. So then we'll have to do part 5. Okay. Yeah. So thank you all so much again. And I hope I didn't bore anybody. I hope everything was okay. So we'll stop the class now. If you have any questions or comments, please go ahead. If you have some realizations that you want to share from these stories, please go ahead. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Very, very nice.
Thank you so much, Karmodiki Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. All glories, all glories, your stories. I'm always afraid to jump in, first of all, but I'm going to share my realizations.
Yes, we always wish for this moment.
I'm telling you, you know, I want you to go on and go on, but I just love relishing and just like meditating over the stories that you've told in this hour. I mean, it makes me last the whole day. A
yeah.
couple of things that came to my mind.
Yes,
first of all, I was thinking, how many times the children are the ones that are such a turning point in somebody's life in many, many different ways. Even somebody as great as Sri Ramanujacharya, just by the child opening the door, and that whole pastime came alive to him. So I'm thinking, even we in our lives as parents, sometimes, you know, inadvertently our children are the reason for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that really struck in my mind. And the other thing that really brought tears to my eyes and my hair was standing on end was when you told the episode of when Kuresh didn't want to enter into Srirangam because he said, as whoever has accepted the shelter of the spiritual master, he doesn't have to be in a holy dham, that he is guaranteed entrance to the spiritual world. I think that was the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And those are the main two things. There were some other things, but I just those two things really, really struck me as important. And one other thing is how much, especially right now, this has been a lot on my mind. A lot of senior devotees are going through a lot of health issues. A lot of, you know, Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are going through very serious health issues, you know, almost to the point of being at the end. And we see here that even Sri Ramanujacharya and even his senior disciples, all of them were going through so much that it almost seems like it's a continuous struggle, that it's not, you know, it's only until we get out of this material world that we're actually going to really have true peace and happiness, that it's a continuous struggle.
Yes.
But for them themselves, for them, such great people, there's so much struggle. Then who are we? And we are just very blessed that we have the protection of our gurus too. Because that is the only reason, you know, that's the only reason that we're in any way being able to struggle in this world is because of the benediction of taking initiation and protection by our guru.
Very
so thank you very much for a sweet class, and I'm going to meditate on this all day.
Thank you so much, Maneshwari Mataji. Very beautiful realizations. Thank you so much, as usual.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. You know, I've been waiting to listen to you, and the pace is very good because if we rush through, then relish that much, and it's so nice. You're taking us back 1,000 years. And it's like being in Srirangam before Ramanujacharya, and it's I can't explain. It's so, so nice, and thank you really very much for this wonderful presentation.
Thank you so much, Lalitanji Mataji. Thank you so much. If you have something to add, please add, Mataji.
Everything is very nicely covered, Mataji. Very, very beautifully. You've been telling, and I really love to listen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. My humble obeisances are Guru Shri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Wonderful Nectarian pastimes, Mataji.
Thank you.
I have a small request, Mataji. Can you create a repository for all these parts, Mataji?
Yeah,
you send in WhatsApp, Mataji, but I don't know how to save that one to the local or story team somewhere for the reference. Lots of us are there, Mataji. My mind is, no, I need all the names because I love to say these passions to my daughter. So,
well, Mataji.
Please, if you have sent any Google links or upload to any link or something, Mataji, please share to me.
Yeah, I will share. I will send an email.
Thank you.
I have your email ID. Have I mailed you before, Mataji? I think I have,
yes.
Right? Yeah, so I'll have your email ID. I'll send it, Mataji. Sure.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Pati, Srirangam, all the places. for this 1 hour, we are out of this US and in India. All your blessings, seeing all the dams.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your blessings.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. You present everything so nicely that it looks like everything is happening to our eyes. We can relish each and every pastime like this. We are a part of that. So thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
We are really
grateful to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. You're so sweet, so nice of you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Priti Mataji, thank you very much for this very, very nectarian class. Very nice class.
Hare Bol Snigdha. Thank you so much.
We could visualize what you were saying. So thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much.
Mataji, just one thing to confirm, like Ramanujacharya established like two different places that the deity is Vishnu, right? In Balaji and the other one is Kurmakshetra, right? He only figured
it out. Correct. You're right. Very good point, Smita. Yeah. Kurmakshetra also, yeah.
I think you covered in the other class, right?
The Mahaprabhu's Yatra class, we did that, yeah.
And Mataji, Andal, you said she is the only woman in the Arvars, right?
Yeah.
I think Lalitangi Mataji once covered Andala story. She is the one who marries with a deity and then she...
Yeah, right. I didn't hear the class of Lalitangi Mataji. I lost something.
Yeah, long time before Lalitangi Mataji gave one class.
Mm.
That class she covered this. That time she gave Bhudevi and... Bhudevi, two wives, right? Balaji.
Yeah, you're right.
So Andal is a Bhudevi, right, Mataji?
Yeah, she is Bhudevi, yeah. Wow, Mataji, I missed this class. I'm feeling so bad now.
Lalitangi Mataji can give this class again. She gave long back on the temples from South India, something like that, some class. That was good. And the other thing I was thinking, like 1,000 years before also people had... so much purity and that their memory was so sharp.
So sharp, right?
Suresh could remember in 390 only read the Grantha and could remember. And the access to that library was really like only the exalted go in and read. Saraswati Devi was there. Personally, she was taking care of that.
Yes Mataji. Oh, it's so interesting, right? Yeah, very true. Amazing, Mataji.
And the faith they have in their guru, they were ready to do anything for their guru.
Very true. Very, very true.
Very nice class, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you very much, Mataji, for taking up so much effort for us. And the other thing I just wanted to add about Paneshwari Mataji amongst us, she is the most fortunate because she saw Prabhupada the first time.
Yeah,
the only one.
Yes, definitely. very true.
And I always look forward to hear something from Paneshwari Mataji after the class because her questions and her comments are always very beneficial to us also.
Yeah, and they make us think more about the pastime. You see it on a totally different angle after she shares her realization.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
Mataji.
You guys don't understand that I'm getting all of this from you. Remember, it's a very reciprocal relationship. You guys are, like I tell you, this class is really, really make me appreciate the devotees. One other thought I had as Snigdha Mataji was talking about the test that the Sri Ramanujacharya had to pass through to get to the Kashmiri library, right? And as you were relating that episode, it suddenly came to my mind, and I don't know if any of you guys are computer, whatever, I'm not, but Well, I was just thinking, my kids used to play this game, Dr. Brain or something, on the computer, which they completely loved when they were children. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, what a fabulous game to create. Just the Srimad Bhagavatam, stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or I mean, just think about Garuda having to pass through all those things to get the nectar. I mean, that would be just great game for kids to pass through to actually, and you use clues from the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam where they have to search for the answer. Like, I'm just thinking in my head, and they go through these things and ultimately they reach whatever, Vaikuntha or whatever. I just think that's just a fabulous game. Great way to get kids involved in gaming, with Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and, you know, and all the stories. So, and pass all these tests, I think, is just, I don't know, just a thought.
Wow, that's a very nice thought. Maybe if you know of someone who is good with these apps, who make these games, we should probably suggest this. But I don't know anyone. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe we can.
That's a very good idea, Mataji.
Nice. Anyone else wants to add anything? Okay, we can now end the call. Thank you all so much for your patience and for all the beautiful inputs and realizations. Very fortunate to be in all of your association. We can now end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavranda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Padramanujacharya Glories Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.